My name is Feriel Abraham, and I live here in St. Paul. I've lived here since 1968, when I was a graduate student at the University of Minnesota. Well, the path that brought me here is that I graduated in 1961 from the University of North Dakota with a major in home economics education. And I took the first job I could find, which was near my hometown, because I didn't know what else to do. And I stayed there for 6 years. And then I took another job in my hometown for 1 year. And I spent in those 7 years like 4 summers at the University of Minnesota in graduate school. And I met some Muslims there. And these people were part of the Muslim Students Association. And in the travels between 1961 and 68, I had met the founders of the Muslim Student Association at one of the conventions I attended and became a member in 1963. And, you know, I thought, I'm a joiner, I'll join this club. And not even thinking that I'd find members at the University of Minnesota. And the only reason I found members was to read the Minnesota Daily and find that they are having an event. And I told my mother about it, and we lived 350 miles from the University of Minnesota. So I said, Mother, do you want to come down on the train and come to this event and stay with me at Bailey Hall at the university? And she said, sure. So she came down, and we went to this event, and we met some of the Muslim students. And it wasn't until 1968 I decided, really, this is it. I want to be a full-time student at the university. So that's when we moved here, 1968. My mother and I. Yeah, because my mother was a widow. She was a widow since the time I graduated from college at the University of North Dakota. And she said, Feriel, I must have a job. I must get a job because I will not have Social Security. And there weren't any jobs where we were. So she applied for jobs. And she got a job, and I was a student. And she worked at the Linnea Home for Lutheran Social Services as a cook, later and as a beautician. My family comes from Lebanon, and it's an all Islamic heritage. My dad came in probably the mid, I think it was 1913, with his dad and his uncle. And the reason my dad came was that his biological mother had died, giving birth to a son. And my grandpa remarried. Grandpa Abraham remarried, and the stepmother was not kind to my dad. And he saw this and saw, and he knew that my dad's uncle was coming to the U.S. too. So the three of them immigrated here. And the thing was, the hope was that my dad would stay with the uncle and remain here. And I know from the census of, because I checked the census for Grandpa Abraham, he was still here in 1920. He had stayed here quite a while before he went back to Lebanon. And I assumed he sent money back to his wife and kids there. And then my dad sold merchandise with a horse and buggy and then later a car. That's how he made his living. And my grandpa Hager, my mom's dad, came about 1903. He came in early immigration and went back to Lebanon. And I think he made 3 trips back and forth to the U.S. and bought property in North Dakota. And finally, in 1924, he became a citizen of the United States. In 1925, he brought my mom and grandma and an uncle. My parents met here. You know, in those days, they would refer people to each other. I mean, it was like not arranged marriages, but, you know, if they knew somebody was single. My mother had several suitors. And after she married my dad, they were all very angry with her because she didn't marry them. But that's the way it was in those days. She was married in 1933, and I was born in 1939. I'm the only child. Well, I was raised Muslim. I mean, I knew that was my ancestral religion, but there were no Muslims where I lived. And I was a graduate of the Lutheran Sunday School. I went 12 years to Lutheran Sunday School. I did not become a Lutheran church member. I guess it was up to me whatever I wanted to be. It wasn't a choice that was forced on me. But I was forced to go to 12 years of Sunday school because my mother said, you have to learn about Christianity.
Was your home Islamic?
Well, as Islamic as could be. My mother would read Quran on some Sunday afternoons if we were home. She'd read Quran to us. But we did not. I did not fast. I think sometimes my parents fasted, but I never fasted. And my mother didn't think it was a good idea for me to fast. But I had no peers. I had no. And there was nobody else around who was a Muslim. I had cousins in North Dakota. They're much younger than me, and they lived like 90 miles away, and I didn't know what they were doing, you know. And we lived there because of my dad's work. We lived in that small town. But as far as, you know, I can remember, I wasn't going to join a church unless I knew exactly what Islam was all about. And so, and I made some Muslim friends, but...
I mean, was that odd for you to know that you were Muslim, but you were going to a Christian school and there weren't really other Muslims around?
It was very odd. It was a very odd feeling. But again, no pressure on me from my parents. I mean, I did everything my friends did. I mean, I socialized with my friends. We had fun. I was high school homecoming queen. I mean, I was, you know, I was one of the honor students in high school. I mean, we had lots of fun. My father let me use the car, and we, you know, we drove. We had a lot of fun. And probably more fun than any of the Muslim kids have today. But I can remember my parents were very lenient. So I had a good time growing up, and I had a good time going to the University of North Dakota. But, you know, I mean, it's always pulling at you, you know. What are you going to be? What are you going to be, Muslim, Christian, whatever, you know?
Was there a big emphasis on being Lebanese when you grew up?
No. No. In fact, the kids said, they didn't use the word Lebanese. They used the word Syrian because it was Syria until sometime in the 40s the country became Lebanon. But one of my friends would say, and this is Ferial, and she is Caesarian. You know, she couldn't say Syrian, so she'd say, she's Caesarian. I said, that's right, I'm Caesarian. I mean, it was just plain funny. No, I mean, it didn't make any difference what I was, really. And nobody cared if you were baptized or confirmed in the faith, because there were always moms who were a little bit funny, and they had their kids going to another church, you know. I mean, it wasn't all that. Everybody was just straight Catholic, Lutheran, or whatever. So it didn't matter. But, no, I mean, I really felt, you know, I mean, I hated leaving that small town because I really felt comfortable there, and we had a lot of really good friends, a good support system. And, that's why probably I stayed teaching in that area so many years, because it was so comfortable. The Muslim Student Association, well, I mean, I went with them, to them to see their event, like the Quran study group, and I could take the bus there. I could take the intercampus bus to Minneapolis, to Kauffman Union, and they'd give me a ride back. But my mother became a volunteer in the organization. I mean, as time went by, she did a lot of work. She cooked at a lot of dinners and did a lot of work. And my friend Zahra Ansari and I founded a lot of things in the early 70s. We founded a Sunday school on the campus of the University of Minnesota for Muslim kids, and we founded a women's society shortly thereafter. And all these things still exist. And I was communications director for 3 terms, and my mother was a women's society president. All this, and she was working full-time. We both worked full-time and did this. And these other ladies, I don't know if they worked full-time or not, but there were several ladies, like Miraj Khan, who was a 3-term Women's Society president, Nusrat Qureshi, who did the Sunday school, and was always... I mean, these are ladies from the 70s who still volunteer. And Zahra Ansari, who still volunteers. And Aynur Koner, she's a Turkish lady who's very, very nice and was a really good Sunday school teacher, and made Turkish pastries and would bring her little boy to our bazaars, and he would help us. And today he is a college law professor. And, I mean, these are the kind of people I associated with. I also had my own friends from school because I was a high school teacher. I mean, after I finished my degree in 1969, and at the same time, I got a high school teaching position. But I still associating with the Muslim group, and had high school friends from the high school. Well, the organizations this is the way it was at the Quran study group. There was this person by the name of Ifat Shah. She was a doctoral student in psychology, very bright, very nice. And this is a group of scholars, humble scholars, I don't know how else to describe them, and some people from the outside who came, for professional people who just wanted to hang out with them. And they kept collecting money. I mean, like, I think their backgrounds were wealthy. They collected money and they kept it, you know, but they were very humble acting. And they said, we're going to establish a mosque. And, you know, I thought, oh, that's nice, you know. And I kind of went along with the flow. In 1969, they moved from, like, Kaufman Union to meet at a place in Lauderdale, a rented house called the Muslim House. And that's when they had a graduation party for me and Ifat, and I got an MA, she got a PhD, and I think there was someone else who graduated that year. And I was already a high school teacher in 1969. And then I noticed that things were kind of moving towards getting a mosque, and these people were establishing themselves, you know. We're going to use this money, and we're going to buy something. And they bought something in Dinkytown. And I don't know who else, but these people who were with me in Quran study were the ones that definitely were the ones that started the mosque and the ICM and whatever, you know, came on afterwards. But in 1970, it was, you know, in winter of 70, Zahra and I started the Sunday school on the campus of the University of Minnesota at an Episcopal center, and apparently they had prayers or something. There was some reason we could use it. So we started that in 1970, and there were some other Indian ladies who also participated in teaching. And then I think it seems that it was there just 1 year or 2 years, and then they moved to Dinkytown and had Sunday school in Dinkytown. I was not a teacher when they did it in Dinkytown. And we started Women's Society, but we started Women's Society not at Dinkytown and not any place, but my mother was a member of the International Institute on Como Avenue, and so we decided to meet there. And so we met there, organized our Women's Society, and told them that we would have cultural dinners for them, and, you know, this type of thing. It was a more cultural type thing. And that's what we did. We started with a dinner for them, and then we had a dinner for the Muslim community. And this Women's Society just took on, you know, I mean, it kept on going. My mom was a president in 77, I think she was a president. And those are the two organizations we started. Well, in those days, see, like Dinkytown Mosque was really small. And I remember helping paint the walls and buying, you know, draperies and things like that. I mean, there was just, you know, weren't very many people. People lived in the upstairs part of the building. And I guess we saw some people. I guess there were a lot of people we never saw. There were a lot of Muslims who never probably joined in or anything. And we would see more at dinners. We'd have dinners at churches. We'd rent churches out and have dinners. Even as an MSA student in the 60s, we had Ramadan dinner. And we would have it at the Luther Center, Luther Hall, Luther Center, at the University of Minnesota. And that was the place. But after that, they had rented churches and had it other places. But they were different. Everybody was kind of establishing themselves. Some of the students went back to India and Pakistan and Egypt. I mean, there were some real scholarly people who did not stay here. But the ones who stayed here, you know, just hung in and established the organization and became officers. And then someone bought Mission Covenant Church in Columbia Heights and made that into a mosque. And that's small, very, very small, but it was okay for the congregation, the people who met there. And so that was like the middle of the 70s, and I think it was not until the 80s that they moved to Fridley. It was quite a while before they moved to Fridley, because I think the mid-80s, they were still in Columbia Heights. So I think about the 1980s, the middle 80s, they bought the place in Fridley. In October of this year, 2010, we had a reunion. So we had it this last year, we had a party where we renewed our friendships with the people who we knew in the 1960s. We invited them. They came from different cities, D.C. and Chicago, those who could come. And we had like 65 people at what we call the reunion party, University of Minnesota reunion party, at a community center in New Brighton. And that was fun. You know, we had it in the afternoon. So we saw those people and talked about old times and how things were different, you know, in those days. And they were a lot different. I mean, you know, because there weren't that many people. And there could be tons of people here that we know of who are not involved. And like, you know, I mean, I've not been involved with the Somalian community. I've not even seen the mosques that are south of here. You know, I just haven't had time. I mean, there are lots of new mosques.